Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with dirty magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
My fucking shoe. So
I know, I said on the count of three and then I never said three.
You never said three. Hey everybody, this is Felicia Rose from the very, very fucking serious podcast, The Screw, here with A-Love.
Hey, the very serious, serious, serious. Oh my goodness.
We're losing our fucking minds.
Yeah.
It's got a compliment I wanted to start with. Ooh. We got a compliment. Somebody said, thank you so much for not being super political after the election. We really needed to turn off our brains. And I think we should just stick with that theme because sex is political and we don't need to talk about politics to talk about political sex, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what I just said, but
no, but
fuck it.
You know.
But fuck it.
There's things to be passionate about and, like, say and do that don't involve, like, wasting your time with, like, the politics of this country, you know? And I think, I think, like, being like, grounded in your life and, like, any kind of local organizing is, like, going to be the most rewarding thing in the next 4 years because everything else is going to make you feel a little bit helpless and a little bit hopeless. Why indulge that? Oh, you look
exactly.
So cute. I like the little, like...
Thank you. It's my 90s.
You're
it's very 90s. So, you're in a college library right now, and you just told me some pretty fucking funny information, and I think you should share it with the listeners.
Okay, yeah. So, every time I come into this audio booth, right... There's, like, a little window. I'm not really sure why. There doesn't need to be a window. It serves no purpose, but it's, like, a peeping
It's so that people window. Don't fuck in it.
Oh, you think
right?
so?
Yeah,
that would
of
be
course.
So interesting if that was, like, an intentionality, like, a thought. Like
well, I saw, college libraries are disgustingly filthy, as you just said. Well,
they are, and I sometimes think that when you see certain kind of, you know, like, if you'll be at a certain rest stop, that you know to be cruisy, and you come back, like, 2 years later, and they've done a remodel, and you see that they have, like, floor-to-ceiling, like, stalls made out of a material that you're never gonna get a glory hole out of, like, then you know that they intentionally did their upgrade to avoid, like nonstop sex going on in their public restroom. But colleges and their bathrooms have not done that. And this one especially, and I'm not even talking about the bathroom. That's the like, and I felt really naive when you told me what that was about. But like every time I come here on this particular day of the week, there's always a like college age dude at this computer. And because I'm, like, out a window, I can kind of, like, see his computer. I'm, like, the only one that can see it. Like, I think that's why he chooses it, because there's a big pole behind him. So there's no, he's, like, the last computer, and there's a big pole behind him. And I don't think he thinks anybody can see him, but I can see him out of this audio booth window. And he always has porn on. And he always has his, like, hand, like, jammed in his pants. So, I guess I thought, oh, you know, he's trying to do this discreetly, but, like, you corrected me. You're like, no, that's...
No, I mean, nobody... There's no way in the world that that dude doesn't have internet access and either a smartphone, a laptop, a tablet, or something that he can watch porn from his dorm. You know, even if his dorm is always has somebody there 24/7... It's a lot less, there's a lot less people in his dorm than in the fucking public library.
You know what's going to
so
happen?
There's a reason for this. He's clearly an exhibitionist of some kind. Bad. Or the getting caught is thrilling or something like that.
Sure.
There is a component to this that he is getting off on. The fact that he's in public. Now, he's not doing it so overtly because obviously then the fun would end. So if he were to move up five rows,
like
then he wouldn't be able
to. Jail time tends to end fun.
Yeah, exactly. He'd end up having to go to jail or he'd get kicked out of the school or whatever the fuck.
Right.
So he's doing it so he doesn't really get caught. And then if he were to get caught, he'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize anybody could see me doing this. But I think that he thinks he's not going to get caught, but the thrill of potentially getting caught is the excitement for him. See, that's my guess.
That makes a lot more sense. Look, I remember the first time I went to college and I was like a youngin', right? Like, I went to college early. Very few people know this about me, but like at 16, I got into college. And I mean, promptly dropped out, but like, you know, like, I was the only 17-year-old college dropout. And then I went back again. But like, the first time I didn't realize, I don't know, it never dawned on me. And it's funny, as like such a horny young man I've always been, it didn't dawn on me that colleges, the bastions of intellectual, academic, blah, 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 were such like a raving horny hole of like on campus sex happening like everywhere. Like, and especially learning that the bathrooms at nearly every college library were like the go-to place. And I'm not sure.
I had sex in our college library bathroom.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like,
there's so many floors, and it was like,
yeah,
I don't remember ever somebody ever going into the bathroom when I had been in there. Yeah. So when I wanted to hook up with somebody on campus, instead of going home to where like my parents lived down the road, I was like, nah, I'm just gonna go to the college bathroom.
That's, yeah. So library. Like I think it was like the top floor bathroom in that library. There became a thing of it being known that like it was like the men's room was just basically like, because it's old shit, right? Like everything is fucking old at some of these universities, but like it was just basically like this kind of big space, but only one toilet like in the corner. And so the thing that guys would do is they would go in there and pee and like accidentally leave the door unlocked.
Uh-huh. Yes. To see who would stay for an extra 1 second.
So you'd open it and like, you know, and but to me that's a lot of work on the person like getting caught to convey a lot of things, or to like the right people and not convey those things to the wrong people.
To the wrong people,
like,
sure.
Kind of non-verbally. Like, you know, and I remember like opening it and there was this like kind of slightly chubby Latino in there, and like he like looked at me and I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I already knew this. Somebody had told me about this. So it was like I was playing the game, but like it had never worked. This was the first time it worked. And he was like, and you know, because there was never anyone in there, right? Like, who knows this? But like, I wonder how these urban legends get spread, because Grindr had only just started. So this was like an institutionalized, it is known kind of fucking thing. And like, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, no, it's okay. And like, kind of looked at me. He's like, we can just share. You should just lock the door. And I was like, okay. So I did. And we didn't share because I didn't have to pee. I just got on my knees. But and he wasn't peeing either. Like, let's be frank. You know, I didn't hear anything dripping. I just saw somebody kind of standing like with their hand on it in front of like the toilet, you know? So
I swear, men, gay male, oh, queer, sorry, queer male bathroom culture is so interesting. It is so, because
everybody's ashamed to talk about it.
I feel like we've talked about this ad nauseum, and it's so funny because if I were to bring this up to most of my straight male friends, cis male friends, they always are like, what are you talking about? Or they'll have one anecdotal, oh, I remember one time I was in like a Gloria, but it's usually in like a seedy place or like somewhere where you would kind of expect that would be happening. I'm talking rest stops, college libraries, all the places that you have told me. Like my thing was never, I walked in and was like, oh, I'm sorry. And then I got on my knees. It was just like, I met up with a person that I wanted to fuck in the bathroom. Right. Yeah. It was never.
Yeah.
I was never stumbling into somebody and fucking them in the bathroom. Yeah. Right.
Like partners, but, and I have like deliberately done it. Like,
right. Right. Like, maybe it was like a stranger that I met up with, but it was a stranger that I met up with that I coordinated it with ahead of time. This wasn't just like I walked in and was like, you, I'm going to suck your dick.
Right.
Whereas the queer male bathroom culture of, I swear, straight cis dudes do not know that this exists. They so this always is funny. Deny it.
The next time we're talking with my partner, like, you have to say that, because like, we always have these discussions because it's not like his scene, you know, which it's cool. Like, it's not really my scene either. Like, I am not motivated by the thrill of getting arrested at 46 either. You know?
Yeah, so like, this was talking like early 20s to 30s that we did.
A certain level of like, you know, your dick is doing all the thinking for you kind of energy. And then there's people that kind of like are super fetishized into like doing period.
Yeah. And it's like, either your hormones or like your fetish, sure.
His thing is always like how do people not think that, like, everybody knows what you're doing? And I'm like, because they don't. One, coding is a huge thing. We have, like, figured out a whole nonverbal language. Like, I've had straight guys, like, ask me before, like, what's the foot tapping? You know, because they've recognized that. But, like, that's what I've told my partner. I was like, that's one of those things, like, if you don't know or not interested in it, you don't react to it. It's not like, oh, that boy, like, tapped his foot at me, officer. Like, that's not what's happening, you know? I do agree that sometimes there are certain individuals that get a little carried away. Like, I was in one of the stalls the other day in the gym, and some, like, creepy, I hope not a professor, but, like, some creepy older gentleman, like, I mean, like, a good 10 to 15 years on me, was, like, staring at me through the slit, like, the space in the stall door.
I was going to say, you don't call people creepy, so this has to go somewhere. What?
And I've seen him before. Like, I've seen him, like, around campus. Like, I kind of instantly recognized who he is. And I was so annoyed because, like, I'm doing my constitution in there, if you know what I mean. So I, like, take my hand and, like, I don't want to be stared at while I'm doing that. Sorry.
If, like, shit.
So I take my hand and I slam it against the stall door because I'm tall. I can reach any fucking stall door from the toilet. Sorry. Like, I can punch you from the fucking toilet without even getting up. So, like, I fucking smack it. And, you know, he scurries like a rat, you know? And, like, I hate saying shit like that, but it's like, older gentlemen, I respect that the pickings get slimmer with time, but, like, doing things,
you're not,
like,
going to get anything if you're being weird about it. It's all about etiquette. Yeah, I don't, this isn't a culture that I'm a part of, so I don't understand it, or not that I don't understand it, I don't participate in it, sure. But at the same time, if I were, I don't think staring at somebody taking a dump through the fucking bathroom, like, I don't care what you're doing in there. That's not how you do it.
And
you,
like,
know,
the,
like,
median age here, I mean, like, I, you know, the library is on, like, the predominantly undergrad part. Well, I mean, I guess there's grad programs here, but, like, a lot of the grad programs are, like, health science stuff, which is on the North Campus, which is where I take my classes. Like, I don't have classes down here where this, like, I have a whole nother library, as a matter of fact, but they don't have a fucking podcast booth. So, like, when I'm down here, it's, like, the median age here is, like, 22 years old. So, like, you're a creepy old dude, like, hoping to, like, catch literally a 22-year-old with their pants down. And, like,
yeah, you're being a predator, and then, honestly.
Yeah, you're creating all this, like, energy that we, like, I will say this. From when I was 20-something years old to now, I do think, like, the, you know, hot daddy, like, I think the ageism actually has decreased a little bit. In terms of, for, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, for many different reasons, probably socially, economically, you name it, you know? But, like, you are perpetuating this kind of, like, dirty old creepy queer man thing that, like, don't be that guy.
It doesn't help the cause, if you will. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to be respectability politic. I'm just saying, like, that's creepy.
There's a line. I'm sorry. Get in the stall and do the foot tap instead. Amen. Do whatever, line up in whatever. You don't, I'm sorry, you're still you know, that's a non-consensual thing, staring through somebody's gap in the door. Unless they're standing up and they're waiting for somebody to take the, like, that's different. And again, y'all know your rules about that stuff. But for you to just, somebody is sitting on a toilet. Okay. We know what they're doing on the toilet.
Right.
What are you, like, either you have coprophilia, it doesn't matter. It's still not consensual and it's still not okay.
Like, this is always fascinating to me, but like, how do these rules get perpetuated? And look, I've traveled all over the world. Some of these things are una-fucking-versal. I got foot tapped in fucking Delhi, okay? Like, by somebody that only spoke Hindi. Like, how it's happened in Colombia. Like, it's happened, like, nearly everywhere. France, Germany, like,
that's universal.
Internationalism.
And the people that aren't in on it don't know.
I know.
Like, it's so funny. Funny to me.
You know, and I'm like, okay, it's this, you know, and I get it, because everybody tells the story, but, like, I mean, are these the standard, like, who takes on the, like, education of the next public restroom cruising, like, scenario? Like, I mean, I guess you just figure it out, and most of it is kind of common sense. If you're tuned into it, then you're tuned into it. And I mean, I know when I was younger, I used to see sometimes written on the stall, like, you know, especially at malls and shit, tap your foot for a BJ and stuff. And I remember being like 14, like tapping it like a fucking moron.
Like, as if the person's always in the next stall over.
Exactly. I remember saying that later. I'm like, if you're going to write these notes, could you like put a time period or like a day of the week? Just something give me like indication. But that's the whole like discretion of it, right? Like, they're risky, but they're not going to, like, you know, create an opportunity for the mall cops to be there between 4 and 6 on Wednesday to see if you're going to, like, tap your foot. But I do remember, being at the University of Pittsburgh once, which by far, they have a big building that looks like a cathedral. I think it's even called the cathedral, but it's, like, they have classes and a bunch of stuff, and it's very, like, insane. But, like, they have, I would say, on the first 4 or 5 floors of the building, like, are the most cruisiest public restrooms I've ever seen in my entire life. And I remember being there one day. I went on a bike ride to visit my partner at the time, and I'm, like, sweating my ass off. And, like, I go into the restroom, and I pick, like, the farthest stall away because I'm always using the restroom. And, like, somebody... And I'm talking, like, these are old school. It's, like, 100 stalls on this side, 100 stalls on that side. They're, like, huge bathrooms, like, out of, like, the 40s or something. And, like, all that, like, historic porcelain and, like, great. I mean, they're actually kind of cool looking now that I'm a critique of the bathrooms of the world. But, like, I got in there, this person got right next to me. And I'm like, oh, my God. I know what this is immediately when there's 500 stalls and you pick...
And you choose the one next to me.
Right next to me, all the way in the back. You had to walk like a good half a mile to get to this fucking thing. And he taps. And, like, I ignore him. And he taps again. And then he taps louder. And then he's moving his foot. And he's tapping it. I was like, you're going to, like, whisper, you're going to sprain your ankle. Knock it the fuck off. And immediately you hear a flush and, like, you know, a scurrying away.
Like, I was just going to the bathroom. No, you weren't. Shut up.
The fuck you were.
The most that's ever happened to me in the fucking bathroom is somebody's disgusting child crawling under the fucking bathroom stall and looking up at me.
No.
That in changing rooms, too. And there has been more than one. I cannot lie. Your kid has one chance to get the fuck out of my goddamn stall. One. And then they get kicked. And I'm not kidding. I have no problem kicking your child. I'm not going to do it hard. I'm not going to bust their face open. But they're going to know to get the fuck out of the goddamn stall. Like, I understand parenting, I'm sure, is really tough. And I'm not going to fucking sit here and say I know anything about it. Okay? I don't. But if you cannot wrangle your child while you're doing your business, and, like, as you know, people are always like, you know, bathroom, I'm so scared of the bathrooms now and the gender queer pop, the trans people. You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of your child looking up at my cooch while I'm trying to take a dump. You know what I mean? That is the only thing that's ever happened to me in the bathroom that feels invasive is your fucking little shit kid coming under, and it's always a little boy, coming underneath the fucking stall, and I will fucking kick your kid. I don't give a flying shit. You get one chance to re-wrangle your child, and then they're getting fucking stomped on. And I don't...
crazy. Oh, my God. That's so
okay,
crazy.
And I'm being a little aggressive about it. No, it's I usually hear you just, there. Like, I, like, soccer ball, like, punt them a little, just a little, boop. To like get the fuck out of here. What else am I supposed to do? I'm sorry, your kid does not get to watch me go to the bathroom. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Oh, they're just a kid. So?
Right. Oh,
keep them in the stall with you.
I hate that.
I don't want your little boy
just a kid. It's no big
watching
deal.
Me go to the bathroom. Like, yeah. It's still invasive and it's still without my consent. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Like, I don't want your child staring at me. It's not a puppy, yeah. It's a fucking kid.
While I sympathize with the struggles of parents, especially single parents, I don't know. Like, that's the stuff that you really have to have an action plan for, like, before that 9 months is up. Like, how are you handling all of these unique situations? There was, like, an episode of, like, I don't know, like, Modern Family or something, where, like, the two dads are trying to figure out, like, she has to, like, potty somewhere, and, like, they're trying to figure out, like, how do we do this? I'm like, these are, like, questions that you need to figure out before you have a child. Like, I'm just, no.
At least before you go out in fucking public.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
I understand, like, okay, you know. First of all, if you have a baby, they shouldn't be on the ground anyway. So we're not talking about babies. We're talking about, like, toddlers. We're talking about... I and when I say, like, I've gently kicked a kid before, I mean, like a fucking 9-year-old.
I didn't mean... I didn't know you actually meant you've kicked a kid before.
Yes.
Oh, this is hilarious.
Like a fucking 9-year-old. Because when I was 9, I knew what I was looking at. You're not 2 years old, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll still nudge you out of the fucking stall if I have to. I don't give a shit. My shoe is nudging you. But I have gently kicked a, like, 9 or 10-year-old. Like, why are you on the floor my stall?
That's a peeping
you're
Tom
looking,
in the making right
that
there.
That is a peeping. That is exactly what that is. They're interested. And I, listen, you know, prepubescence, kids become interested in human form and
curious.
Body.
Not
and
in a sexual
I am
way,
not
but curious.
Okay. In a curiosity way. Yeah. And after the first time you're reprimanded, if you cannot control your child enough to crawl under the stall at almost fucking, like, at 10 years old, I was almost in middle school. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, I can't process that in my brain. I would never crawl under a stall at that age. Like, that's just, you're fucking, it's a weird scenario.
I wouldn't do it.
So my gut reaction is, you're getting punted. I'm sorry. And I don't,
I'm going to get
in trouble for this, and I don't give a shit. Fucking care.
I had to do that.
I think all public stalls should be floor to ceiling, first of all.
You're ruining
you know,
all the
because
fun now.
In the woman's bathroom. You know? Because
like,
I've
had to punt a 55-year-old out of my fucking stall, too. I'm like,
right.
How does that old-ass motherfucker be able to be flexible enough to get under that fucking 1 foot of space?
Listen, the bathroom... Remember the guy in Maine that crawled through the sewage system to peep up at women?
Oh, yeah.
From the shitter? He was literally, like, covered in fecal matter when they found him because
wasn't it
all
the porta
he wanted
potty?
To do
he
was...
He was in a porta potty, wasn't he?
I don't know if it was a porta potty or I think it might have been a porta potty, but it was something where he
fucking
was able
disgusting.
To crawl through the sewage system to stare up at people taking dumps because he had a fucking poop fetish. And I don't care what kind of fetish you have.
Yeah.
Doing all that, bro.
Yeah.
Bro, pay a sex worker. Like what are we doing here? Like she'll shit on a glass table for you and it's the same kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like I don't understand.
You know.
Speaking of, actually, somebody on Snapchat the other day messaged me and asked me for a quote on shitting in my underwear on camera and then mailing it to them. So I gave them my price. I didn't skip a beat, didn't say anything like, oh, ew, like, no, like, just, this is, I don't shame, this is my price for that. It was $5,000. One, because I am not comfortable shitting in my underwear.
Right.
Two, I am not comfortable having a video in the world of me shitting in my underwear. So if you want it bad enough, you will pay enough money.
Totally.
And therefore, I know you will not leak it, because why would you leak something you spent that much money on, right?
Yeah.
It's the same way with my BBW content. I mean, my BBW content is thousands less. But at the same time, I don't want it leaked. So therefore, I put a higher price on it. So it's only serious buyers. Anyways, three, you're asking me to not only handle... because he wanted like a load of shit in the underwear, went to mail it. You're asking me to handle biohazard, and you're also asking me to commit a felony, which is to ship biohazard.
Mail biohazard,
So all of these, now, do I think that that's a very high price? Yes. Do I think that it's the only way I would do it? Yes. Mm-hmm. If you gave me enough money to pay that's not even 3 months rent for me, honestly, then yes, I would have no problem doing that. So I just simply say back, yeah, no problem. My price is $5K for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do I expect the person to pay it? No. I know. And also I'm not a high end, like I'm not high end. I understand that. I understand that I'm not making millions of dollars, which is probably what a person that makes millions of dollars doing this stuff would probably quote
no,
and
fuck
get
that. I would charge fucking 10 grand.
Sure. But this motherfucker had the audacity to shame me in return. This person that wanted me to shit in my underwear on camera and mail it in the mail had the fucking audacity to shame my pricing. He goes, are you fucking kidding me right now? That's absurd. That's a ridiculous price. I would never pay that price. And I was like, I did not shame you for asking for my fecal matter.
Exactly.
The same way I would expect for you to turn around and not shame me for the price. All you had to say was, okay, no worries. I'm all set. That's all you had to say.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't care if something is out of your price range or not. That's not my business. That's your business.
Totally.
All you have to say is, okay, I'm not interested. Thank you. Or thank you for answering me.
Yeah.
Or I'll consider it or whatever. And then just never reach out again.
Right.
There is absolutely no planet where you should be shaming a sex worker for anything, whether they're pricing you out. And this is not the first time somebody tried to shame me for the price of this same exact thing. And it's why I've still never done a shit video. To this day, I have never done a shit video because I always price it out by the thousands.
Yeah.
And they're never willing to pay. And do you know what I always hear back in return? Most girls do it for 100 to 150. I'm sorry. My JOI is 150 for 15 minutes. You think that the same price as me talking at the camera is going to be the price of me shitting in my... I do not want to touch fecal matter. I don't want to watch myself shitting. I don't want to do any of this. This is your fetish, bubs.
Right.
So I'm going to price it out based on my comfort. And my comfort is $5,000. How dare you shame me for that? Y'all are testing sex workers. And I know for a fact that you are not being priced $150 for somebody to handle their fucking biohazard. Right. And if you are, and so I literally go, okay, go see them then. And then this person turned around and goes, but you know, I think you're a sexy little girl. Okay, block. I'm not a little girl. You were not given permission to infantilize me. And now I see where this is going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Twisted.
And I don't have to say a single extra word about it. I do not have to say anything because everybody that's listening knows exactly what I mean right now. On no fucking planet do you unprompted call me a little girl.
Right. Yeah.
If we're going to go into age play, we're having a very long conversation ahead of time. I know you for a while.
Right.
And this is something you've been given permission to do.
Mm-hmm.
I am almost 40 years old. You are not calling me a little girl. Okay?
Yeah.
These tits don't sag because I'm a little girl. Okay?
So
these
true.
Tits sag because of gravity and because they've been sucked on a lot. Okay? To be fair, they sagged when I was like 19 too, because my growth spurts and weight fluctuation. But anyways,
gravity
that's not
is
the
real.
Point, okay, I have earned these almost 40 years on this planet, and you are not going to fucking call me a little girl.
Little
fuck
girl.
Off.
Yeah, no, that's.
I literally was like, you know, the shaming for shit wasn't block worthy. Well, I mean, it was, but I wasn't there yet. And then he said that, and I was like, no, absolutely
shaming
not.
Shaming for shit.
Shaming for shit. Got the title for the, podcast.
Totally.
Well, since we're on the topic of bathroom stuff, you know.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Like, I kick kids, and I charge $5,000 for shit play. Sorry. I'm sorry. Like, I don't, if you do not have a shit fetish, fecal matter 99.9% of the time is going to gross you out, unless maybe you're a nurse. Right. You know, unless this is like, that's an average Tuesday handling shit.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking birthing nurse. I literally have to pick up shit logs off of the table and wipe their ass and make sure they don't even know about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, those are the people that wouldn't be disgusted by shit.
But they're also likely not going to be into it either. Because
no, like, not into it.
Talking
sure.
about saturation.
But I'm saying, like, maybe a nurse wouldn't have the gag reflex that I'm going to have for handling shit. And that, you know, everybody has their things, but I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure like vomit and shit are the next rung up when we're talking about pricing. Sorry.
They're the next rung up when we're talking about anything. I mean, like,
I charge extra for piss. I charge extra for butt stuff in general because these are things. Now, I like being peed on. I have no problem with piss, but you're still getting charged extra.
See, I would provide a discount for piss because it's like easier than me coming.
Well, I'm talking about like pissing in my underwear. There's a level of cleanup. If there is a level of cleanup and or a gag thing, which pee doesn't make me gag, but still, if I have to potentially be grossed out. You know how I am with getting grossed out.
Totally.
I won't eat for fucking days if you gross me out.
Yeah.
So I have to now take a shit, watch myself take a shit, put the shitty underwear in a fucking bag, and then...
I feel like we should charge $5,000 for this episode.
I think so, too. Maybe we should put this behind a paywall. I just, you know,
no,
I think that it's just... Like, let's not be ridiculous here. And I don't care how much shaming you're going to do of me.
Yeah.
You're not going to convince me that it's a normal price to pay for somebody to pay $150 for shit underwear.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can get my swamp ass underwear, but it's still that alone is going to be $150 because now you've asked me to wear dirty underwear for an extended amount of time.
Right.
That could create. I always
think
about it like
this. You might need some Bactrim.
Thank you. Exactly. Am I potentially putting my health at risk? If I'm putting my health at risk and or, you know, breaking a law, then we need to discuss how much it is to be worth it. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Totally.
That's all I have to say about that.
That's
like crazy. I can't with that kind of shit. Literally, again, if this person hadn't shamed me in return, this we would not be talking right now.
Yeah.
This would not be. I would not have brought this up on the fucking podcast.
Yeah.
But this is now the second person who shamed me for just without skipping a beat, giving a price on something that I don't normally do. And then one of my friends, I tweeted about it. Briefly, and one of my friends was like, wait, you don't even say that you do shit play like on your quote unquote menu. Like, this isn't even something that you like offer.
Yeah.
So, for you to not even be offering it and then the person ask for it,
substitutions cost extra. It's an off the menu item.
It is. You're ordering off the menu. The chef has to prepare this special for you. You have to expect a higher price. I'm sorry. And if you're not, I'm not expecting you to say yes to $5,000.
Right.
And I'm not expecting to want to do it for a dollar less than $5,000.
It's a discouragement price because it's not something, it's not on the menu, right? Like,
sure.
Of course.
It's not even a discouragement. It's just like, how much money would it take for me to be comfortable with the fact that I just grossed myself out. I just broke a law. All this stuff. How much would it? And also there's the chance that it goes online.
Right.
There's still that slim chance that you put it online.
Of course. Because you know, in my head, if you paid $5,000 for it, you're going to like try to be trading that in like the shit packs. you know, like, that people sell on, like, Twitter. No, but seriously, I don't, you ever see these people selling shit on Twitter? They're like, hit me up for, like, you know, a pack of, like, videos, and it's usually shit pirated off of OnlyFans or whatever, or, like, you know, maybe they paid for the accounts, but they, like, recorded the videos and are, like, you know.
Which you can't do anymore, which is fantastic. Mm. Thank fucking God. But there's definitely, I think that everybody needs to understand, I'm respecting you. Mm-hmm. You should be respecting me. There's I don't care how much you paid for whatever it is from the last person, because I guarantee you that I'm charging less for a lot of the things that I charge for as well. So I'm charging less than the last person, and I'm also charging more. Yeah. And it's once again, up to the comfort of the creator. I don't care if you could. Think about it like this. It's proprietary as fuck. Not a single person out there owns a video of me vomiting or shitting, okay? Right. So if you want either of the two, and vomitus, I'll probably charge more for, because that's how much I do not want to do it.
Yeah.
I'll do stomach bile. I'll do spit up. That's a lot of money. But it's also, like, actual vomit is going to cost you a hefty sum, because I don't even want to watch it back to edit it.
Look,
okay?
I
So therefore, you think of it as proprietary, right?
No, that's
the same way.
That's a good way to frame
a girl that doesn't make content, or even a guy, anybody that doesn't make content, you want it bad enough, you charge a lot of money if you're going to give it to them, because you're not a content creator.
Yeah.
I have friends that are like, oh yeah, somebody asked me for a video of me giving head, and I charge them $1,000. Why? Because they don't have a video of them giving head online. Mine is $40 on fucking loyal fans.
Right.
Hers was $1,000 because there's nothing out there that exists like that, right?
Yeah.
Same shit. Think of it like that. It's proprietary as fuck. So if you go in thinking you're going to pay anything less than proprietary prices, then baby, I should have shamed him back and be like, what? You don't have enough money? You poor ass, scrub ass, bitch ass, oh?
Right.
And no, I don't play the game of shame, because I'm not a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
So you couldn't afford my price. I can't do that for you. Period. Point. We're done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's, you know, because, like, my head is always, like, I personally, like, always, you know, and maybe it's because, like, you know, I studied way too much, like, psychology for this. But, like, you know, when you, like, start, like, talking about, like, the realms of, even if you look at some of, like, the Kinsey report data, the people that are into some of these fetishes also have, like, a lot of stuff going on.
Trauma.
Right.
Yeah. I know that.
It's
100, which is why when he called me a little girl, it's like, and we're done here. That was the unspoken thing I was trying to say earlier. It's like, okay, we're talking about.
Disappear. Yeah. Forget my name.
Just goodbye. We're not having a conversation anymore, you know, because now we're talking about something I'm very uncomfortable with, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, I was talking to a friend the other day about, you know, how the internet and, like, you know, the kind of modern dating world, if you will, has, like, created this kind of, like, level of, you know, and I remember this happening as soon as things like gay.com and Yahoo chats, like, people were getting, like, a bravery to say and do things and ask things and, like, talk about things that, like, they never had in person, you know, and if they did in person, it was, like, very occasional. You meet somebody at a bar that would say something, like, super filthy to you, like, immediately, you know. It'd be like the rules of engagement in person are so different. And, you know, and I was thinking, you know, I feel like people don't realize that they want to go back to a more, like, in-person socializing. And I don't think they, and I'm hoping that over time we get back to that, because it has really created these, like, awful dynamics. And I think about it, especially, like, in queer dating scenes, you get so much people that are, like, listing activities that they want to do. And I'm saying this for a reason, because it's a weird trajectory of, you know, and I don't want to say we've always had this thing, but, like, it's gotten worse because there's fewer options now even for it. But, like, that you think you're going to sleep with someone, you think you're going to, you know, have a hookup, but you want this, like, possibility somewhere in the back of your head to justify that this hookup could have possibly turned into something more intimate or whatever. And, like, you test this out in, like, simple ways, because people want, you know, they express all these other things that don't really make sense given what they're asking for. And you're like, so you want to like get cream pied, throat fucked, and then you want to cuddle and Netflix and chill in that order. And I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. That's the fucked up part. Like, in the sense that, you know,
yeah,
we are having this conversation. It's just like, I get it. You know, my whole thing is that I do think most of the people, like, there's two things going on and many reasons why they're going on, you know, where like, you know, because I get asked a lot, oh, you know, do you see these people that are like literally come gang fuck me with three guys that like don't want to fuck around with you if you have a partner? And I'm thinking in my head, what does that matter to you in this context?
Right.
Like, if I have a partner, like, because I'm like, are you just, you think you're going to fuck your way to like a husband? Is that what? No, because you get it. You see that these people and they're so, you know, and I've always said, any partner that I met on a social media app, the conversation literally did not start around sex. I mean, we talked about sex, but it was kind of like more of like, hey, you know, I'm interested in being humanized because, you know, I'd like to, you know, to date somebody or go out or whatever, right? And then, you know, you have all these people that like do think like, we're going to hook up and then we're going to date. And I'm not even meaning to be old fashioned. I'm telling you what I see out there is like that method does not work. You get what you give. And if you put out like full on puta energy with like no humanizing and no personality to it, who the fuck do you think you're going to date? Like,
yeah, I had to correct somebody recently because they were like, how do I word this? They basically like led with their dick in conversating with the person that they were trying to fuck, but they also like respected, and they were like, I really, for my birthday or whatever it was, like, I really want a blowjob from you. And I was like, I'm sorry, but like, especially women, like, that doesn't do anything for us. Like, yeah. I, like, unless we're in the thick of talking about sex,
right,
you saying that your desire is to just get blown, especially because, like, again, unless you're leading to having intercourse with the person, like, what, how is that sexy? I like, ooh, I'm craving a dick in my mouth. Like, we're not 19 anymore with like the libido of like, okay, I'll come over and fuck you. And I mean, blow you. And I don't care if you just get blown and then I leave after. Like, I don't know. I just,
no, because about, that, like, that one-sided mindless puteria.
It's one-sided. Yeah. We talked about that already last podcast. Yeah, it's the same energy. This is weird.
But it does create this thing too. Like, especially as the person, if you do engage in that, and this is like a sexual mental health thing. Like, I'm all for being slutty and hooking up. But when you get in these situations where you suck like 10 cocks in a day and like you're not like getting off and nobody's pleasuring you, just review what that's about for you. Because
and it's not humanizing. And it's not. A lot of times with women, we need a little mental rub. So therefore, to take that out of the situation, and then also it's one thing to be like, you know, say some really naughty shit first and then be like, and then I'd get you down on your knees, like, okay,
yeah
now we're in it, we're in the scene, as opposed to just like, I just want to come over and use your throat, right.
like the art of the flirt is the art of the flirt is dissipating. Like, I mean, it's dissipating in a way where it's like, sounds so transactional. Do you like part A and part B? Oh, cool, I like to put part A and part B, you know. And you're like, yeah, but where in this do I like get engaged in the idea of you being the person that puts part A and part B?
Because
anybody can fucking put part A and part B. Like, what? You know, and it's kind of like too, when like dudes want to hook up without like sharing pictures, they want to hook up just based on the things that you like. And I'm like, yeah, but lots of like, this isn't, like, a find. Lots of people like fucking and getting fucked or sucking. Like,
right.
Like, why you? Sell me on you. It's Shark right. Tank. Why your product? You know?
Exactly. Like, sell me on it a little bit. Sell the person on it. Otherwise, you're not going to get a good response. It's not.
Exactly. I mean, like, and great.
Especially for somebody like me. Like, all I am all day is objectified, right? It's all I am all day. So if you're gonna stay on my, and like this convo wasn't to me, but like I think about myself in the context, and I'd be like, boring, like that's a eye roll. It doesn't do anything for me unless you set the scene, right. Lube me up a little, stage it. There's a reason why the spicy novels are on the rise, and that side of TikTok is like super popular now, because again, women especially are very into reading the build-up. They're into setting the scene. Some of the things that I get off to most are movies, because the scene has a build-up. There's, you can feel the tension. The TV show has 6 episodes before they finally have the sex, and I'm not even seeing penetration, right? So, like, there needs to give us a little more than just, like, oh, I want to fuck your face. That's not hot.
Well,
I'm sorry.
People wonder,
like,
why there's, like, a dissatisfaction in, like, some of the, you know, and granted, there's a unicorn every once in a while of, like, somebody who are like, wow, they either read a lot of literotica or, like, found their way into, like, a comfort of flirting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I see it as a technically, like, a positive thing when somebody can throw on a real good verbal flirt. It certainly doesn't mean that they can, like, actually back it up in, like, physicality, because, you know, sometimes people talk a good game. But the fact is nobody's even talking a good game anymore. You know?
Right.
Telling me you like to breed is not talking a good game. Like,
right. It's funny because this person that I'm talking about, that was talking to the other person, they are good with their, like, literotica style verbiage and stuff. So nice. That's why I was kind of shocked. I was like, why would you lead with that? Like, talk about, give it some depth, give it a scene.
Yeah.
Give it a scene, and then if the scene ends with you getting head, okay. But, like, I don't know. When I was, like, 19, 20, I was a big pleaser. I wanted to be wanted. I wanted you to want me. I didn't care if that meant I was just a hole to you, okay?
Sure.
So you being like, oh, I'm going to fuck your face, that got me wet. That was the thing. I was into that. Now, what? Yeah, I'm sorry. You'd have to be like Matt Lillard or Skeet Ulrich to say that, and for me to be into it.
You'd have to be girl. Like, I love your references.
Well, those are like my two. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like that would get me going from only people that I put on an insane pedestal, is my point.
Yeah.
But a human that I know on a you gotta lube it up a little bit.
And maybe that's it too, you know, like, as we're, like, on this planet and sexually active for more years, you know, there does get to be this thing of, you know, it's not even about satiation level, it's like creativity, you know. Anybody can, like, put something in a hole, but, like, maybe you can, you know, the only kind of room you have to play with in this world is that, like, how you flirt, how you, like, get to the point where you're sticking it in the hole, metaphorically speaking, you know, like. And I think that, I don't know if the, like, especially with, like, queer men, I don't know if they think, like, Grindr and all these things has created, like, a saturation point. It hasn't, you know, like, there's plenty of people not on these apps too, but it's like, it's become, and it's not even that it's too easy. I think you see so many people in their profiles complaining about things like flakes. They love that term, another flake, meaning they started talking to you, thought they were going to hook up with you, but they feel like they wasted their time. You know?
Like,
do some, like,
that's
self-analysis.
That's entitlement shit.
I know.
Entitlement
Do some self-analysis.
You responded, so you have to fuck me.
Yeah, exactly.
The fuck? It's like, it's so, it's like,
I have my dick out. Are you gonna suck it? Like, oh my god, yeah, fucking what boring.
These, like, some
bore
of these
me.
People done in the old days, and like the people my age and older who are on here doing the same thing. Like, I know you were the types that always went home alone from the bar. I can tell.
Yeah, because you have no charisma. You have no swag.
Charisma. Exactly.
Learn how to fucking speak to people. Yeah, and you want to know how you do that? You go out in public, and you see what works. Oh wow. Three people in a row really responded well when I said, hey, how's it going today? Yeah, this weather couldn't be any more beautiful, huh? Or, oh, this person really took to me when I said, when I bought them a drink and I said, you know, you have absolutely beautiful eyes. I don't know. I don't care. Whatever the fucking context. The point is, try out speaking to humans. Yeah. And when it doesn't work, stop fucking doing it. What are you doing by speaking to people the same way you just did 45 times in a row and it never worked? I cannot stand that. I deal with it all the time where I'm like, you know, you're out in public and men think that they're being fucking cheeky or funny or, and I'm like, did this ever work?
Right.
Did this?
Right.
Because I can tell that this is in your like repertoire of how you speak to people and it's never worked. So well, why do you keep doing it?
And it's created
like
this...
some of the suavest and sleekest men, they have the same 20 lines and they use them over and over. And guess what? They look good. They smell good. They have good cologne.
Yeah.
They have good hygiene. They walk around with confidence, but not cockiness. And they say the same fucking line. I'm telling you. There are men that go into the fucking bodega I go into and they speak to women. I've been living here 9 goddamn years. They say the same fucking sentence to every woman that walks in and it works every fucking time. And I don't mean like they get to go home with them, but they're being responded to in a positive way.
Yeah.
And you want to know how they got there? They did trial and error. Oh, this works. This doesn't work. Maybe I don't say smile more often to the woman. Huh?
Right.
You should smile, sweetie. No, that doesn't work. That does not work.
A stupid thing to say.
Sure don't.
It's such a stupid
You know,
thing.
So I
Yeah, there's
I a... just people are socially inept and it doesn't even matter what day and what era they're from anymore.
No,
it's
that's
truly
true.
People that are just like, "Well, I saw it work on a sitcom. Why isn't it working for me?"
No, it's true. Like a couple of weeks ago I went like out to my partner and I went to one of the queer bars in the area. And like we like been like a handful of times, like usually around Pride or whatever. I mean, they're very quaint. It's the Southwest. What are you gonna do? But like, there's two like dueling gay bars, one across the street from the other. So it's kind of like hilarious.
Dueling gay bars.
Yeah.
I like that.
And they both have like their pros and cons. But we were there and like, you know, drinking and like having a conversation, and this college twink like, you know, taps me on the arm and says, hey, like, we talked on Grindr like a year and a half ago or something like that. And like, he's like, do you remember me? And it took me a minute because, like, you know, these college students, by the time they graduate, they've like lost the rest of their like useful weight in many situations. And, like, he looked like half the person he was when he talked to me a year and a half before, right? And like, and I remembered immediately who he was and, like, why I kind of stopped talking to him, you know, not just because he is, like, kind of young and stupid still and needs to bake longer, but, like, you know, but, like, the whole point is it was, I was, like, impressed that, like, he recognized me off of these apps and, like, broke the, like, third wall, so to speak, and talked to me in person. Immediately realized how socially awkward he was because I tried to introduce him to my partner and like he like drifted off in some autistic like conversation is over kind of moment. But the reason I had stopped talking to him because he was really into this like fetish of being eaten, feeling like he was being, and at first I thought, oh, you know, you like your cum drink or whatever, and he's like, no,
sure.
I like to feel like I'm being like eaten alive.
Like cannibalism.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know, even if like someone is super hot and I can feel a chemistry, I don't know how to like conduct that fetish. I think that's like it dropped off because like, again, not fetish judgy. I just don't, I wouldn't understand how to make that hot for you. They're like,
for you. Yeah. Like yeah. that, not every fetish is for every person to entertain, indulge in, yeah. participate in, etc. There's just certain things that certain people cannot do, even if, you know, more often than not, I will consider acting out or playing with a fetish if I'm into the person. Sure, that's it's not a problem, but it doesn't mean that every fetish is on the table, because I am not able to wrap my brain around right. some of them, and that's okay. You don't yeah. have to.
No, totally.
You don't need to have to.
And
you
I'm
know?
More likely to indulge a fetish if you have like a cacophony of like other things that like can be on the table. The problem sure. with some
but
of these,
but if it's just
like,
one, but it's those very and specific.
And my noticing of the very specific fetishes, even in instances where like the people seem like they're open to talking and flirting about other things, they always
it
find
goes right
a
back
way
to
drive back to their fetish.
Right.
And
right. Like, it's we talked about this last week. We talked about putting it like it all comes down to that what that one person wants, yeah. and then it's very one-sided.
Yeah.
And we discussed ways around that, trying to look at different porn, jerk off with different parts of your body, you know,
yeah.
like try to be a little bit more dynamic and be into more than one thing, and then you will have a better chance of actually being satiated yeah. in general
maybe
and satiating other people.
Just for like a test thing, try for a while. Like when our pre-conversation before the podcast had me thinking of this, try to take it off the table for yourself for a hot minute, like, and be like, let me be sexual without like indulging this one thing for like as long
right.
as possible to see, right. you know, I mean, I know that's not the point of which you were talking about this, but maybe it would put other things, you would put some space on your table for some other activities. Cause I
right.
think that's what it is. These, some of these very specific fetishes, especially get so large on the table that there is no space for anything else. You've
mm-hmm.
occupied so much of your brain with it that like, that's what's on the table. That's what we're having
for
dinner.
It's all consuming.
Do you want to eat macaroni
right.
and cheese every night for... Okay, maybe bad example, because I probably could eat macaroni and cheese every night for dinner. But, like... anyway.
I think you're the first person who introduced me to Velveeta.
So that's, like... I don't tell people that in public usually. No, because like...
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, my partner makes fun of me for
I'm
it all the time.
Airing out your dirty,
you know,
naughty
like,
secrets.
You know, he's Latin and he'll be like, you white folks and your paschettis, like, you love to eat
we
this
sure
stuff.
We sure do. We love our paschetti.
And I was like, yeah.
That's cute.
I mean, it's... Velveeta is kind of like... Don't read the ingredients. That's not the point of the experience. Like, there's nothing real in it. There's nothing real in it.
Of course not.
There's nothing real in
it. We understand what we're doing when we get Velveeta. It's okay.
And
there's no shame in it.
It doesn't actually even taste good in, like, a cheese-like way. It tastes good in a Velveeta way.
It's just Velveeta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not cheese. When people are like, what is that? I'm like, it's Velveeta.
It's
and they're like, it's macaroni and cheese? I'm like, no, it's macaroni and Velveeta.
Exactly.
There is a difference. There is a huge difference.
Oh,
this is a pack of chemicals.
Yeah.
We don't read the label. We eat
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Period. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Stress not, young one. I do want to give a quick shout out to Joe from Audio Asylum. He just had me on his podcast last week, and it was a great interview. He talked to me about stuff, some of the stuff about like my job and the weird, you know, specific fetishes I've been asked and things like that. And we talked horror and music and stuff. So go give that episode a listen, but also give his podcast a listen. It's a good podcast. He does a great interview. And shout out to Joe. He's a pal of mine, and we've been friends for a while. And I meant to be on his podcast like 1,000 times. It just never worked out. So I'm glad I finally got to actually do it. And yeah, it's a good podcast. Go give it a listen and give it a follow on Instagram. It's, I believe, audio_asylum_podcast. So
sweet.
Yeah. That was fun. What else we got on the menu? I think the menu is done. Are we
yeah.
at dessert yet? I'm not sure.
Yeah, we got dessert.
We did dessert.
I Let me check out the window. Hold on.
What? Hold on. My last question before we end our podcast today is, what type of porn is he watching?
Oh, it's,
like, I need you to go look.
It's hetero porn. I've looked, and it's.
But what? That's not. It's very lingerie. What type?
All I know is it's very lingerie heavy, like nice lingerie. You know, like.
You should absolutely write down my OnlyFans. And on a piece of paper and accidentally drop it on his table.
Okay.
Felicia Rose New.
No, I
dare you to. OnlyFans.com/ Felicia Rose New. Do it.
I'll let you know how that works out. I like it.
And one more reminder. My birthday is December 1st. My lovely best friend that is on the podcast with me right now. Between him and some flight points, I'm able to go to New Orleans, and it's my first vacation in a while. And I would like to actually vacation during it. I don't want to have to bring my ring light and work. I'm going to, and I probably will, but feel free to send me money for a gift or just sign up for my OnlyFans. Honestly, that would be awesome. I am just,
that would be a very sexy Airbnb for you to film into. Like, it's got nice
I know,
curves.
But I don't want to have to
fucking work. I get it. No, I don't want you to
I actually thought about it, and you know this because you've taken me on most of the vacations I've been on, aside from my, like, Myrtle Beach ones. Every vacation I have been on in the last 6 years, I have worked during. I have not had one singular vacation. When we were in Mexico, I filmed. Yeah. I'm still editing those. I like to front load every Myrtle Beach vacation, New Orleans from when the last time we went for my birthday. I have not taken a vacation and not worked in 6 years. So if you would like to donate to my I Don't Want to Work fund.
Yes.
But I will probably work. Also, I probably will at least go live one of the nights because I'm there alone for a few days. So,
fuck yeah.
So tune in, sign up and tune in. I'll definitely do some kind of at least one live stream because it is a sexy Airbnb. So
nice.
Thank you, Aaron.
Our pleasures.
I love you.
I love you.
You're a good best friend.
You're a good best friend.
You're a better best friend.
No, it couldn't possibly be true.
You are. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Download us, subscribe, like, follow, and we love you. And mybutthole.com. Bye.